All this week, and really all year, Donald Trump has been dominating news cycles. Now, part of that is him saying what's on his mind, but part of it is just that he's been more available to the media this year than Hillary Clinton has. Here he is last week in Florida.
So it's been 235 days since crooked Hillary Clinton has had a press conference. And you, as reporters who give her all of these glowing reports, should ask yourselves why.
Well, joining us now is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
And I want to play a clip of Joel Benenson, who is a Clinton campaign pollster. And last week he was asked about the campaign's decision not to hold press conferences. Here he is on ABC News.
She has done hundreds of interviews. She's doing them every week. You're setting up a standard that Donald Trump sets up of she hasn't had a press conference. We'll have a press conference when we want to have a press conference. There's no problem with that. But the American people hear from her directly every day, and she answers questions from journalists. She's been doing interviews for months.
And I should notice she just did a big interview with Fox News over the weekend. But where do you come down on this, the fact that she hasn't held a press conference in now more than 240 days?
Notice the phrasing, we'll do a press conference when we want to,
yeah.
Right? It's not about when events warrant, when the people should hear her taking questions from reporters. I don't get as worked up about some people as some people do about the analogous question. Why doesn't President Obama have more press conferences? Why doesn't President Bush have more press conferences? I'm not always convinced those are the best forums in which you elicit the best answers to the toughest questions. That said, I think the American people deserve to have elected officials in whom they put so much authority and discretion to have them held accountable. And reporters are people often best equipped to try to do that, even if there's some preening and self-promotion involved. For Hillary Clinton not to take a press conference over the course of 6 months is pretty astonishing. Now, it's a question of her not wanting to do that. But I do think it's something telling about her comfort level and about the way in which she's decided to interact with the public. And I think it suggests a decent remove, even if she really has done these hundreds of interviews that they say, and so far I have not been able to obtain a tally of them or an accounting of them, that is a significant number of interactions with the press.
Well, and it also kind of plays into the strategies of both campaigns, that Donald Trump's strategy has been all along to always dominate every news cycle and be available. And as soon as he says one thing that people find offensive, he just goes on and talks about something else and it kind of changes the subject. Whereas Hillary Clinton, you know, we had David Axelrod, who was an Obama strategist, tweeting today, if I were Hillary Clinton, I might embark on a summer tour of America's splendid national parks and cede the stage entirely to real Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's not by accident that she isn't holding these press conferences. It's not by accident that she doesn't at least publicly seem to do a lot of prominent interviews. She's not doing the full Ginsburg, going on all of the Sunday shows at once except on rare moments. And when she does, in the Fox News Sunday interview that she did with Chris Wallace over the weekend, you know, she made these statements that seemingly are deeply inconsistent with what the head of the FBI said about the email scandal in questions. You know, she seems to raise questions every time she addresses questions, and that's a problem for her. She doesn't seem to be there doesn't seem to be a comfort level at this way of communicating with the public. She's running a much more conventional campaign of, you know, old school get out the vote, of social media, of things like that. And yet Donald Trump seems to be just doing this very different chaos strategy, which worked so well in the primaries and seems at least in this short bit of the general campaign quite self-destructive, leading to chaos not only with his opponent but within his own campaign.
David, while we have you, I want to ask you about another story, something that you've been covering very closely for years, and that is the sexual harassment scandal at Fox News. A lot more details coming out, it seems, by the day. Bring us up to date on where we are with that.
Well, obviously, so Roger Ailes is out, paid a lot of money to walk away, and we've been covering Fox News for years. But what was new, of course, was we're in early July, the sexual harassment lawsuit by former Fox News host Gretchen Carlson, which opened the floodgates. So this has raised the opportunity for other women to come forward, some of them by name, and say, Roger Ailes sexually harassed me too. In one case over the weekend, Gabriel Sherman, who's really led a lot of the reporting on this for New York Magazine, had this long interview with a booker who said over a 20-year period, Roger Ailes Giles essentially required sexual favors from her in a clearly non-romantic relationship as she progressed up the ladder in various jobs at Fox News. And the relationship between her jobs and her sexual favors were as clear as day. Other people coming forward too, Lori Due has said that she has some things to say, although won't quite specify exactly what they are. She was a longtime Fox anchor, let go some years ago. And now there's really a question of the culture. Were there senior executives at Fox News who were aware of this? It seems there has to have been if settlements were paid out, as is credibly alleged, for allegations of misbehavior by Ailes and others at Fox News. You know, the general counsel would have to know about these payments. The chief financial officer would have to know about these payments. There are questions about what Bill Shine knew. He's the guy over programming, which incorporates all of the famous opinion hosts at Fox News. But he's also seen as Ailes' number two. And he is helping Rupert Murdoch lead Fox News even now in the absence of its creative engine, Roger Ailes.
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens in terms of the leadership, because Rupert Murdoch is in his mid-80s now, and we'll see who
That's
comes
right.
in and whether they will have the same views that Roger Ailes did. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, thank you so much.
You bet.